Hey, good morning, Grace Church. It's good to see you all. Hey, I don't know if you were here when the announcements came on, but I just wanted to remind you that coming up on the 19th of this month, we're going to have an orientation for anyone who wants to go to Senegal in March. So maybe, just maybe now, is be a good time for you to be praying and asking God to let you know and guide you in his pathway for you and determine whether or not you want to go to Senegal. Because we're sending a team in about the third week of March. So if you have any interest in learning about that trip, then we would encourage you to come on out on the 19th. It'll be after the first service, so you can hear all the details you need to hear, and you can prayerfully consider whether you or should be a part of this team. So I hope you'd be thinking about that. So last week we lit the first candle of the Advent season, that candle of hope. And we looked at a passage from Isaiah 9. And it talked about the hope that we have because of God's provision for his people. It's a provision that's given in spite of our circumstances. A provision that's given it despite our condition. When things are a mess, it seems that nevertheless, God is faithful. God is faithful, and praise God for that. So this morning, we lit the second candle of Advent, the candle of peace. And as we did, we were reminded of the peace that's ours with the coming of Christ. But as wonderful as peace sounds, and I got to tell you, peace sounds like a wonderful, wonderful thing to me. I think for many, peace can feel elusive. I think peace can feel like something we're never going to quite experience in the day-to-day. What with COVID and its variants, and then there's the issues around masks and vaccines. We listen to the news and we hear about inflation and supply chain issues. We deal with political tensions, and that doesn't even account for the stuff that sometimes is going on at home. The trials we face there, if you have a sick child or a sick parent, or you're dealing with tension between husband and wife, or just tension with a rebellious teen. And in a time, again, this notion of peace can feel like we're on this quest for peace, but quite frankly, we're never going to get there. We're never going to have it. And I think maybe part of the problem we have in our searching for peace is that we tend to define it very, very narrowly. And I know from personal experience that this is something that I do. When I think of peace, I picture it this way. I'm kind of walking hand in hand with my bride, and we're making our way down the rail trail to the beaver pond, and it's in the late afternoon in the summer, and there's a little breeze blowing. And we sit on the bench, and we look out and see the wildlife and the beauties of nature and everything that God has made. And our conversation is filled with just the moment. Just the moment, just the two of us. In that section, that moment, in that time, there are no struggles. There are no difficulties to speak of. It's just our time together. And with that picture in mind, it's easy to define peace as simply the absence of trouble. Simply the absence of trouble. But when I think of peace that way, I tend to see it as something that I'm either working toward, and I will only have in the future when I'm in the presence of the Lord, or I tend to think of it as something I will, if I have, well, it's going to inevitably get swallowed up by something else. That peace won't be lasting peace. When I think about peace this way, it reminds me of that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Perhaps you're familiar with it. It says, "Oh, what joy we often forfeit. Oh, what pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Now, the hymnist's point is pretty straightforward. In the end, he's saying that we miss out on God's blessings. We miss out on what God has for us because we're not attuned to the power that we have in prayer. And I have to say to myself, well, this is how it works with peace. That I may miss out on the greater blessing of God's peace that's available here and now because I'm not attuned to it in the correct way. You see, because of the relationship between, because that relationship between God and man has been harmonized through the gospel, and you know that gospel is that good news that Jesus' death on the cross had paid the penalty for my sin, and by faith I can be redeemed, and I can be forgiven and brought into right relationship with him. Because of that good news, the peace of God spoken of in the scripture is God's final conquest of all human suffering and brokenness and trials and troubles. But it's actually more than that. It's more than that. Because if we're right with God, his peace is not only a new state for us, but it's also a present reality. That is to say that God's peace can be found in the unfolding of his presence in all our circumstances. This is a peace that has its source in God, and it's God's good pleasure to share it with us. It's a peace secured by the work of Christ Jesus. And through the Holy Spirit, this is a peace that can be grown in us. So, since we all face trials of many kinds, and these are less than peaceful days, I thought this morning we could use a refresher in God's peace. So we're going to take a moment and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts, and we'll look at some scripture and see what it says to us about the topic of peace. So let's pray. Father God, I ask that you would be a part of this moment. I pray that you would fill us with your presence. I pray that we would listen carefully and quietly to your still small voice, and that these words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, that we would be drawn into an ever-deepening love for you. And we pray, Father God, that in all things you would receive the glory and the praise due your holy name. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Let's start with this premise. God is the source of all peace. God is the source of all peace. Now, the first thing that we want to take note of is that God is a God of peace. And he is referred to as such in various places in the New Testament. We'll take a quick look. There we go. May the God of peace be with you all. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. Time and time again in the scripture, we see evidence that God is a God of peace. And when the word describes God as the God of peace, it means that peace is an attribute of his personage. It is a characteristic, if you will. It is an inherent part of the wholeness of who God is. God cannot not be peace. And peace can't be separated from God's nature. Now, I don't share this often. But the truth is that I have one leg that's a little shorter than the other, and I have a flat foot on the left and an arched foot on the right. I know that makes me sound like a circus act, okay? But that's truth. And it doesn't matter where I go, this left foot always follows me, comes with me, and it always leaves me with a limp. I have a perpetual limp. And it's a part of my personage. Wherever I go, it goes. Whatever I do, it kind of does along with me. I can't be separated from it, except, obviously, if it was amputated. But let's go with the analogy, okay? And just as God is a God of truth, and God is a God of love, and God is a God of justice, and God is a God of mercy, he is also a God of peace. It's intrinsic to who he is. And when he is acting in his justice, he doesn't cease to be a God of peace. Sometimes we like to think Like we think, you know, when we can actually not be peaceful when we are acting on some other emotion, when we're acting on some other characteristic of our personality. But God is always peace regardless of what he is carrying out. So if he's carrying out his wrath, he is also a God of peace. If he is carrying out his justice, he remains a God of peace. That is the doctrine of simplicity. That is the doctrine of the deity's simplicity. And because he is the God of peace, he is the source of all true peace. Now picture, if you will, that mankind has a tremendous thirst. And it has this craving for refreshment. And let's pretend that I am the source of that refreshment. I am the source of all water, the perfect refresher. But let's pretend that I don't make it known and I don't share it with the world that I am the perfect refresher. Well, since people don't know that I'm the source of that refreshment, they don't think to ask me. And they go about quenching their thirst on their own. And so they devise all kinds of different drinks based on their craving. Mostly, which are sugar and coffee-based. But in the end, these drinks don't satisfy that craving. They don't satisfy that thirst as the water would. People have a great craving for peace. But they either don't know that God is the source of all peace, or if they do know, they fail to take him at his word and trust him to provide his peace. Or they even think that if they ask, he won't provide his peace. So we attempt to find peace on our own. We attempt to find peace in any number of different ways, and always based on our own cravings and desires. So we say things like, oh, I'll have peace when I finally simplify my life and learn to better manage my time. Or I'll find peace when I spend more money on my hobby, if I organize my life better, if I earn more money, if I leave my job or I leave my spouse, then I will have peace. So we seek peace in all kinds of ways, and some of those tactics are not necessarily bad, but some of them are incredibly, incredibly destructive. And as attempts to gain peace, they're really only counterfeits of the real peace to be found in God. And because the peace we manufacture is reflective of our fallen humanity, because the peace that we manufacture is transient, because we are transient and not eternal, that peace is by nature flawed and satisfies us only for a short while. And it's easily shaken as our reserves of internal peace are limited by our own strength, and they're limited by our own resolve. Now, I've said this before, but I think it bears saying again. There is only one true source of seafood lasagna in the world, and that is Rose Gachin. Now, there are other seafood lasagnas out there, and they are good. Oh, they're good. But I think they're only a shadow of the real thing. They're only a shadow. If I want the real thing, I have to get it from Rose. And I have to pretend to be ill. Not proud of that. Not proud of that. But if you want seafood lasagna, call Rose and say, I'm not feeling very well. And that sister has a craving to help other people. Peace can be manufactured apart from God. It can. But it won't have the staying power. And it won't have the beauty. And it won't lead to the fulfillment that comes with the peace that is found in God. It will always end up being dependent upon our circumstances or on our feelings, and these change continually, don't they?
And we know this from practical experience. You can walk through the door feeling all happy. Hey, good morning. It's Sunday morning. Good to see you. And you can stub your toe and say, I hate the world and everything in it. Our emotions, they change. They blow around like the wind. If our peace is based on us, it will be transient. It will be transient. If we want true peace, we need to go to the source of true peace. That is God. That is God. The second premise. God is willing to share his peace. God is willing to share his peace. Now imagine, if you can, if God, the source of true peace, wasn't willing to make that peace known to his creation. He has it, but he's not going to let us know. If that was the case, then we'd be truly in a horrible spot, would we not? Imagine the darkness that would attend this life. And it would even be worse if God made known that he was the source of all peace, but he was unwilling to share it. Oh yeah, I am the source, but you can't have it. You can't have it. It'd be like me making known that I have all the water necessary to meet your need, all the water necessary to quench your thirst, but I'm unwilling to share it with you. I think it would make your thirst worse. You think? I think it would make it worse. But God, the source of all true peace, has determined that he will make his peace known to us. Now, I think about these passages from the scripture. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Grace to you and peace from God our Father in 2 Corinthians. Galatians, peace from God our Father. 2 Timothy, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Time and time again, Paul begins his letters by offering the peace of God the Father to those around him. It's not just a salutation. It's actually a bit of a promise. God wants to give you his peace. He wants it to be made known to you. And not only is God willing to share that peace with us, but he is going to provide the way of securing it. It says in Romans 5:1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Pes with God, actually. It's an interesting change. That's the Greek. Okay. It was foretold through the prophet Isaiah of the greatness of the government and peace there will be no end. This peace was announced by the angels. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. God wants to provide us his peace. So it's like my having all the water and be willing to share it and then building a pipeline to it at my expense so that you can share in it. God looked upon us, and he saw the mess we are in. He sees the mess we are in now, and he knew that sin was at the heart of it. It was our sin that keeps us separated from him. It's our sin that leaves us craving peace, but forever trying to secure it. And so God acted in love and grace and mercy on our behalf to make a way for the sin that separated us from him to be settled. And he did this through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So God, the source of true peace, provided and secured the peace for us, and he released it into our lives. He releases it to us. His promise and his provision of a lasting peace was so wonderful that he didn't want us to miss it. He doesn't want us to miss it. And that's why he speaks to the prophet Isaiah. And he tells him, hey, in the future, the greatness of the government and peace, there will be no end. It's coming. And that's why he spoke through the angelic host on the night of his birth. The glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. It was this same peace that Jesus reiterated when he spoke to his disciples and he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Don't you love the way that God operates? He has something great to share with us. something great that he wants to give us. And so he tells us of the coming of his great gift of peace to heighten our interest and to take this confused audience and to get them attuned to the right things. He announces the arrival of the great gift of peace so that we might not miss it, and then he secures this great gift of peace by providing the gift through his own power and by his own grace. Because he knew that in our weakness, we were likely to miss it. And so he reminds us again and again that it's ours, and it's ours by the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew that we could never earn this through our own works. He knew that we could never gain it on our own. So with the source of peace made known and God's willingness to provide it and secure his peace for us in Christ Jesus, he now allows his peace through the power of the Spirit of God to work in us to expand and to grow and to permeate every recess of our lives. So now the source of the water has been made known, and it has been offered to us, and a means has been provided for it to be delivered to us. The one receiving the water now has the freedom to let it flow into every area of their lives. Third premise: peace secured can be grown. Peace secured can be grown. The scripture says this in Philippians 4:9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And again in 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The peace of God grows in us as we put into practice what he's taught us. When we are more than just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word, as it says in James chapter 1. It's like my learning Spanish. You know, I've had years of instruction in Spanish. I took Spanish in 7th grade, in 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade. I think I took it in 11th grade. I went to college, and I ended up having to take it there for 2 years. So I've had plenty of instruction in Spanish. But what I didn't have was the interest in putting it into practice. What I didn't have was the opportunity to put it in practice. And because I didn't have the interest, nor did I take the opportunity, what I found was all that knowledge amounted to almost nothing. Almost nothing. I was not a Spanish speaker. But if I had set my will to it, and I had taken the opportunities that were afforded by the knowledge that had been provided to me, then that Spanish language skill would have grown in me, and I would be able to see the fruit of seeing it exercised in my day-to-day. As we put into practice what he tells us, we're grown in the knowledge of God. By experience, we're shown again and again that he is trustworthy and faithful, and his love for us is proved. It's not so much about our working harder to please God that we pursue peace. It's in the practice of obedience to God's word that peace begins to develop in us. It's as we let go and as we lean in to the Lord that the Spirit's work in us begins to bear peace as the fruit of the Spirit. And this peace of God, this peace is truly a peace that passes all understanding, because it's not dependent on our circumstance. It's a peace that transcends and is reflected in our lives regardless of what comes our way. And we come to understand through all of life's experiences that the kingdom of God is indeed one of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God's peace is not something we have to wait for. It becomes for us the realization of his presence in everything we do and in every situation. It's by the power of God at work in the Holy Spirit that God's presence and God's peace can be present even as we deal with the deep hurts and the losses that come with a loved one's passing. And it comes when God's presence and peace can be present with the family at the bedside of a child suffering in the hospital. Or when we're dealing with the maelstrom of raising little children and balancing all of the life that throws at us. It's not found in developing yet another scheme. It's found in a daily walk of obedience to God's known word. I am my most secure, gang. I am at my most peaceful when I'm nearest my Savior. When I'm up close and personal with him. And I'm leaned against him in obedience. That's when I find that I'm the most secure about who I am and about my circumstances and about the stuff of life. And you know what's funny is I am the least secure when I hold my Lord at a distance through disobedience. When I'm kind of doing my own thing and walking my own way, thinking that somehow that will secure me. That will be how I will define myself. And when I start to go down that road, it's interesting, at least in my life, how my security and my sense of well-being begins to fray. And life becomes more and more complex, and more things are a danger, and they feel more scary to me, like everything's going to come undone. But that doesn't happen when I'm up close with my Savior. And I'm walking in the light of his word, and I'm following his lead closely. So if you're going to pursue peace, if we're going to pursue peace, we're going to want to remember a couple of things. We're going to want to remember that God is the source of true peace. We have to keep that in our minds. We want to be careful to not seek our peace apart from him. And we're going to want to remember that God is not withholding peace from us. God is not a God who withholds anything from us. God desires to lavish himself upon us. And quite frankly, he's the most glorified in himself when we are most dependent upon him. When we are most fulfilled in him. And he's demonstrated that he wanted to lavish his peace upon us by providing and securing that peace for us through Christ Jesus. What greater demonstration can there be of his desire for us to have peace with him and peace in our lives than for him to send his one and only Son to die on a cross and for the likes of us. It's amazing. And finally, we're going to want to remember that God has not only provided and secured our peace, but he intends that it would continue to grow in our lives. It would continue to develop in us as we put his word into practice. And let me offer this as a word of warning based on my own experience. You know, in centuries past, it wasn't uncommon for miners to bring a canary with them into the coal mines. And when there was a buildup of carbon monoxide, the bird would be the first to die. And when they saw the bird die, they would know they were in trouble and he'd get out of the mine. They'd find a way to safety. So too, I think, the absence of peace in our lives, the absence of peace in my life, is like a canary in the coal mine for Wes. When I am not feeling that sense of peace, and I'm not finding my security in God, it's kind of a gentle warning from God that something's not right in the mind of my heart. Something's not right. And it's a gentle reminder for me to move out of that place and get myself refocused on him. That some way and somehow my thinking is not in line with his word. That I'm not putting my trust in him. that I'm somehow separating myself from him. So when I'm feeling that lack of peace, I have to go back to him and say, Lord, uncover in me that which I'm putting my dependence upon. That which I am putting in the way as the barrier, because I know he's not the barrier ever. If there is a barrier between myself and God, it is because I have placed it there. That I'm the one who erects that and puts him at arm's length. So when I'm not feeling that sense of peace, I got to go back to him and say, Lord, uncover it in me. Uncover in me what I'm putting my hope and trust in. And my God is gracious. And my God is loving. And my God is faithful. And my God is receiving. And my God desires to receive me back into his presence. And he doesn't do so with condemnation, for he says, for there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No, he calls me back and he says, oh, Wes, welcome home. Welcome home. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're back. Let's walk together. And he forgives my sin and he forgives my confusion and my self-dependence and all the other stuff that gets in the way of my acknowledging and accepting his peace. And then we walk together. And we walk together. And I have found in my own life that, shockingly enough, that sense of equilibrium, that sense of peace begins to grow again. And it starts coming back. It starts coming back. We may not have peace. We may not have peace because we aren't asking for peace. And we're not trusting him with our circumstances and yielding ourselves to his word. If that's the case for you, as it sometimes is for me, if that's the case, then praise God that he has made this evident to you. And use that as an opportunity to come and ask him to work in you, to help you trust him and help you receive that peace that he wants to give to you. And as you ask of him, our God is a God who wants to give abundantly. Life throws us a ton of stuff. Throws us a ton of stuff. But God has us covered. God has us covered. So peace be with you. Peace be with you. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We entrust ourselves into your care and keeping. We pray that we'll lean in on you, offer you thanksgiving for all that you are and all that you do. And we do so in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.